And then so we're going to do. We're going to do something a little bit different today. I want to pray with you, and then I'm going to give you a little thought or two you need to hear before I read the passage. So let's pray. Father, let me bless your name and praise you for the opportunity that we have to be here, and that, Lord, to fellowship with God's dear saints here at Little Ivy. Thank you for Pastor and his family. And Lord, you know we love him. You know we pray for him. And so I'm going to ask you that you would bless today these dear people and the folks that come here and visitors that come in and out. We pray for them. We ask you, Father, to do a sweet, precious work in our hearts today. Thank you so much, Father, for what we heard in Sunday school that challenged our heart with your word. Now, Father, I'm praying, anoint us today. Give us clarity of mind and understanding that, Lord, we can say the things that you won't say. I pray, Father God, you do a work now in our hearts today. Should there be somebody in our midst, Father, that's not saved, never been born again, would you speak to them, Father, in a way that only you can? And we'll honor you for that now. Do a work for us, Lord. We'll honor you in Christ's name. Amen. Are you at Psalm 90? All right, so let me say a couple of things here. First of all, I want to remind you who wrote the psalm. Your Bible probably tells you in the heading that Moses is the author of this psalm. Now, it is the only psalm in the entire book of Psalms that's written by Moses. And so he wrote that, and it's that he would be the oldest one. Now, what I want to do is I want to remind you of some things you already know, but I want to remind you of them before we read this text, and you will understand better some of the things that Moses is going to be saying as we read the text. So I want to remind you of some of the things that Moses saw in his dealing with the nation of Israel. Now, just the things that Moses saw. So God's called him and sent him to Egypt to lead the children of Israel out. Yay? Yay. All right, so you remember it starts off in all these plagues. God starts having him send all these plagues upon the nation of Egypt. And so Moses is seeing these things. He saw the Nile River turn to blood. He saw those frogs that came up out of the river and it just smothered the land. He saw the swarms of gnats and the flies. He saw the diseases on the cattle and the boils and the sores that was on man and beast. Now listen, he saw the destruction of the flocks of the fields and the crops by those hailstones that came down. He saw the destruction of the land by locusts. He saw the darkness that was there. But now listen carefully now. On that last plague they sent, that God sent, there was the death of the firstborn. Not just the man, but the firstborn of beasts as well. And the word of God said that there was not a house in the land of Egypt where there was not one dead. And the Bible said there was a great mourning and a weeping that went up from Egypt. So I don't know how many dead bodies of the firstborn that Moses saw in that experience. But I'll tell you one thing he heard. He heard the mourning and the weeping and the crying of those people. Now, I want to move on and say this now. I want to remind you some other things he saw. There was the golden calf he saw. Remember that? Y'all remember that? When he came down off the mountain, they were worshiping the golden calf. And there was judgment. Hear me now. When all was said and done with that golden calf issue, then the Levites joined together with Moses, and that there were 3,000 dead bodies left behind. Moses saw 3,000 dead men on the ground as a result of them worshiping that golden calf. Now you need to get that in your mind, what he's seeing here. And then he saw his own nephews, Nadab and Abihu, who went in to offer up strange fire. And God sent fire out of that tabernacle and burned up those two boys. And Moses saw his own two nephews laying dead, a charred mess from the judgment of God on them. Don't you listen out? Just think what this man is seeing. He saw the man that blasphemed the name of the Lord. And they said, God said, stone him. He saw this one lone man that blasphemed God. And the nation of Israel gathered around. Everybody gathered a stone. And they threw stones at him. And there was a pile of stones laid upon them. And Moses saw that man's death. Are y'all with me now? And so there was a quail when God sent the quail into Israel. And you know what the Bible said this? Listen carefully. When God sent the quail and they gathered up all that mess, you know, the quail. And the Bible said that those gluttons, God smote them while their mouth was full of quail. God killed the gluttons while they were there eating the quail. Are y'all hearing that? Again, we don't know how many the Bible doesn't say, but there's a pile of dead bodies everywhere you go from those that have eaten those quail and the gluttons. And then there at the Kadesh Barnea, listen to me carefully now. At Kadesh Barnea, they're about ready to go across into the land of Canaan, and there was a rebellion. And you know, those 10 spies came back and gave a terrible report. And here's what God said. God said, nobody above 20 years old is going to go in the land of Canaan. Are y'all hearing that now? So I don't know how many died, but I want you to think about this now. If God said everybody above 20 years old is going to die, they're not going to go in the land of Canaan. How many bodies did Moses see? Now, all did not die the same day. But here's what we know. We know they had at least 600,000 soldiers. Are y'all hearing that? At least 600,000. And those 600,000 are dying within the next few years. And we don't know how many of the regular people died. But what I'm trying to get you to see is this. That everywhere Moses turned, he's seeing dead bodies. Dead bodies. Dead bodies, dead bodies. And just before they got ready to cross over, the Moabites, neighbor, they appealed to them. And they seduced the nation of Israel. And they worshiped Baal at Peor. And there was 24,000 people died, neighbor, at Peor because of that. Now, you're getting the picture here. Moses, for these years that he's tried to lead the children of Israel out in the land of Canaan, has had to deal with death, 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 and all the deaths were caused by judgment. Are you hearing that now? Now, with that in mind, let's go to Psalm 90. I think that was important for you to really see what Moses is saying here as he moves through Psalm 90. Follow with me carefully now. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now watch it now. Thou turnest man to destruction. And so that's what Moses, that's what I was describing. Thou turnest man to destruction. Then thou sayest, return, ye children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday, when it is past, and as the watch in the night. Now watch verse 5. Thou carriest them away with a flood. They are as sleep in the morning. They are like grass, which groweth up, and in the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and then the evening is cut down and withereth. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. Verse 9, watch it now. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that's told. The days of our years are 80 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. for we may that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Now, I know that's, did y'all get the idea? I mean, from what I explained to you about all the judgment, then you can you see all the references to all that stuff that Moses saw in Psalm 90 as we read through? But now, I want you to look with me to verse number 11. I want you to look at verse number 11. And this will be the verse that I want to just expound on a little bit. And so, look at verse number 11. He said, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Question mark. And you know what? I read the rest of that in your hearing. And here's what you did not find out. God asked this question, who knoweth, Moses did, who knoweth, pardon me, who knoweth the power of thine anger? And that question is never answered. That no matter how you look, that answer, that question will never find an answer in this passage. And I want to try to look at that in a moment. But now, let me give you a couple of things as we move forward. So you notice this, that the word anger and the word wrath is used several times in that passage. So what is the difference between anger and wrath? The word anger, it means to be an enraged passion. Now, I mean, that's what it means. But the word wrath means like a hot displeasure or indignation. Here's my idea. Now, listen to here's my idea. What wrath is igniting and the executing of God's wrath. All right, let me give you an idea. Did not the Bible say this, that God is angry with the wicked every day? Did it say that? All right, so if God is angry with the wicked every day, is God wiping out the wicked every day? No, see, he's angry with the wicked every day, but God is not executing wrath on that wicked person every day. So here's what I want you to get. And now hear me well. Let me lay the groundwork, and I won't be but 2 hours getting it done. Just stay with me. All right, so all this wrath stuff, all this anger stuff we read about God and we hear about God, is that who God is? I mean, is God a God that all he wants to do is sit up on his throne and look down upon earth and find somebody that's tripped up and then mash a execute a button and say, zap them out of here? Is that what God's doing? Is that kind of God he is? Look here, are y'all hear me now? See, right after Moses had to deal with that golden calf, then Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. And God said, there is a place I'll show you, pardon me. But he said, you can't see my face. Now, here's what I want you to get. When God showed him his back parts to Moses, here is what he told Moses. He said this, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed. Now this is God's word about himself. He said, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. God said, Moses, I know you've seen all these deaths. Everywhere you've looked, there's been thousands and thousands that are dying here and dying there. But Moses, this is who I am. I'm a God of mercy. Y'all know what mercy is, don't you? It is withholding of some judgment that you deserve. That's what God had on every one of us before we got saved. It's the mercy of God holding off his wrath until we got saved by God's grace. And God said, I'm merciful. Then he said, I'm gracious. That is that unmerited favor type stuff that God has. Now look on. He said this. He said, I'm long suffering. Oh my. Are y'all hearing that? So all you need to do to appreciate that word is to just take an inventory of your own heart. If you take an inventory of your own life and just be honest about what I've messed up on, how I've lived that wasn't right, and yet God didn't zap you out. I mean, what is that? That is the long-suffering of God. Can I not bless His name? Can I not praise Him because He's a God of long-suffering? He said, that's who I am. I'm a God of long-suffering. And then He said this. He said, I'm a God that's full of goodness. Yeah. He said, the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And truth endureth to all generations. Is God good? Is He good to you? Are you sure He's good to you? Yeah. If you're breathing today, I promise you, He's good to you. And so let me show you this now. Now, I'm going somewhere if you'll just stay with me a moment. So here's what I just gave you. I just gave you the verses that God gave Him Himself before they ever got to the land of Canaan. Now, you know the history of Israel. They went to the land of Canaan, and then they had some good time. They went through the judges and then through the kings, and then, of course, the king divided, and then it was vile, wicked stuff, and God kept saying, I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to bring judgment. Y'all hear me now? God said, I'm going to bring judgment. I'm going to bring judgment. They didn't believe Him, but God did send it. The Assyrians came and wiped out the northern kingdom. Babylonians came and eliminated the southern kingdom of Judah. Are y'all hearing me now? So after 70 years of judgment has occurred, then God sends some of the nation of Israel back to rebuild the temple and the city walls. Here's what I want you to get. Nehemiah now is in Jerusalem. He's building the city wall. Listen what he said. After the judgment, after the great mighty nation of Israel and Judah have disintegrated, and judgment is all across the land, a few of them are back. Listen to what Nehemiah said about God. He said this, but thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, great in kindness, and forsookest them not. Are y'all hearing me now? So here's what I've just told you in a roundabout way. God has not changed. He is still a merciful God. He's still a gracious God. He's still a long-suffering God. Y'all believe that? Well, if He is, why did He write verses 11? Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Does God have a side about Him that has anger to Him? Yes, He does. Now, I want you to look back, if you would, verse number 1 and 2. And I want to just point a couple of things out here before we move on. And I want to elaborate just a moment here on verse number 1 and 2 on who is this God that recorded verse number 11. I mean, who is this God? He said, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Well, look at verse number 1. Moses said, he said, Lord, he starts the psalm off by identifying Him as this potentate Lord. And the word Lord is a sovereign controller, a master, a Lord, a supreme ruler. So Moses said, this is the guy. I say, God, that's not a good term to use for God. But this is the one that ruled this. The God that is Lord. He is supreme ruler. Now, you better hear this man. You better hear the old boy. You may choose to do your own thing. You may choose to live your own life the way you want to live. But I want to remind you, there is a supreme ruler, a supreme authority that is in control of your heartbeat, in control of your breath. No matter what you do, He is still in control. Now look at what else He said. He said this. He said, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling. Now that word dwelling means abode or a habitation of truth. Now let me give you a little illustration. So if I invited you over to my house, if I said I want you to come spend the weekend with me, and so you come on Friday night, and so you're going to spend the weekend with me. So let me ask you this: do you expect me to care for you while you're there? Do you expect me to feed you? Do you expect me to give you provision? If somebody starts trying to tear into our house and to do us harm, do you expect me to provide for you and protect you? Do you? All right, so look what they said. They said, Lord, you are our dwelling place. They're saying, Lord, you are our provider. They said, Lord, you are our protector. Let me ask you this. Was God not their provider in the manna? Was God not their protector all the way through that wilderness experience? Was he not? Yes, he was. Now, look at this now. So he said in verse number 2, he said, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth. So we know he is the creator and the producer. But now, look what he said in the last part of verse number 2. He said, even from everlasting unto everlasting, thou art God. Now, I want you to listen to me a moment now. I want you to listen to that phrase. He said, from, that's where I have been. From everlasting to ever, this is where I'm going. From everlasting to everlasting. Are y'all hearing me now? All right, so let's say that, let's examine this everlasting this way, back. So I'm going to say to Pastor, now, Pastor, I want you to travel out to the end of everlasting this way. And once you get to the end, I want you to come back and give me a report of what you saw. That when he left on his journey, that was the last time I would ever see him. You know why? Because there is no end that way. See, everlasting that way, his neighbor, is without limit. There is absolutely no limit of everlasting that way. So now I say to Scotty, I want you to go to everlasting this way and just go to the end of it. And once you get the end of everlasting this way, then come back and give us a report of what you saw everlasting that way. And he never returned. You know why? Because there is no end. God said, this is who I am. He said, I'm a God that is from this way everlasting and from this way everlasting. There's no end to me. Oh, are y'all hearing me today? You ought to, if nothing else, you ought to thank God that that's the kind of God you serve. That's the kind of God that lives in you. A God that will not change. I'm the Lord, I change not. And that God is from everlasting ever. And so how long am I going to live? Well, Brother Allen says, we're going to live just as long as God lives. Which means this thing that I've got in me called eternal life, I mean, it's going as far as God exists. Amen. Are y'all listening to me now? All right, so this is who God is. But now let me ask you this question here. If God is so good, if God is so everlasting, if God is so unchanging, evidently there must be something that upsets God. What do you think it is? What do you think it is that upsets God? It's a one word, it's not a big word. It's called S-I-N. The sin upsets God. See, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but the Bible made it clear. For the wages of sin is, help me now. Come here now. The wages of sin is? Death. Or have we not been talking now since we started these thoughts here? Have we not been talking about death? All the death of Moses. Oh, look here. All those people that we were just briefed about that died under Moses' leadership, did they not die because of sin? Every one of them died because of sin. Now, I had my eyes operating on. I can see out there, but I can't see here. So that's why I'm in these glasses up and down all the time. All right, here's what we're going to get a hold of if we can. So this God is highly upset with sin, and he said the penalty for sin is death. So now, I want to think about this just a moment, and then we'll move on quickly now. All right, so starting with verse number 3, And I'm not going to deal with all this, but he kind of shows us the pathway by which, neighbor, this anger of God is going to take. It's going to take destruction. You remember reading some of those words? Destruction and carried away the flood, consumed, passed away. Some of those verses that he uses there. Now, are y'all with me a moment now? I'm going to skip the chase. I'm going to write to the point now. So here's my, now, y'all do believe this, don't you? Y'all do believe that when somebody dies without God, where do you think they go? Help me out. Say it. Hell, all right, so are you sure of that? Are you sure that every person that dies without God is going to go to hell? Are you sure of that? Yeah, I'm sure of that. All right, so let me ask this question here. No, let's go back and rethink the question. So God said, who knoweth the power of his anger? Do you think about that? Do you know anybody that can answer that question? Do you know anybody that can give us a complete, thorough answer to that question? Who knoweth the power of his anger? All right, so let me ask you this now. So you believe that sinners end in hell, right? All right, so who is the first person that we are pretty sure went to hell in the Bible? Who do you think the first person probably is that went to hell? Cain. Now, I will accept that. Now, listen to me well. All right, so pastor says that Cain is probably the first person that died without God, without trusting God, and no doubt he's in hell. Now then, how long will that be? Help me now. So, let's see. All right, so I know we got a 1,000-year millennial to come. Church has been here 2,000 years. And the Old Testament was somewhere around 2,000. And the human government was probably... So Cain has probably been in hell 6,000 years. So do you reckon if we called up Cain today and say, Cain, here's a question for you. Who can know the power of his anger? Now, Cain, you've been there 6,000 years. Cain, you've been in hell 6,000 years. So can you tell me that you have exhausted the power of God's anger? Are y'all listening to me now? Now, let's think that through. So how long is God going to live? Wait a minute, we just went over that, didn't we? We said God is everlasting this way, and God is everlasting that way. All right, so Cain's been there 6,000 years, right? All right, so he cannot tell me that he has experienced the fullness of God's anger yet. Why? Well, here's what we know from the Bible. We know good and well that we've at least got 1,007 more years to go in time. So we know this much. We know that he's at least got 1,007 more years before time comes an end. We know he's at least got that. But wait a minute. Is that the end of God? No, see? So once the millennium is over and the last battle is in full, then we're entering into eternity where there is no end. Are y'all getting what I'm saying here? So I'm telling you, see, no matter how long Cain has been in hell, here is no way he can experience the full load of God's anger and wrath unless he lives to the end of God, and there ain't no end of God. Are y'all hearing me now? Now, some of y'all are sitting here, and you're not right with God. I'm not a judge, but you're not right with God, and you know you're not right with God. Are you sure that you are prepared to face God with that question? Who knoweth the power of his anger? Somebody said, I'm not afraid of God. Then you're in a special class called great fools. I'm not being mean, but here's what that Bible said. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Have you ever, look here, some of you men are just like some of the rest of us. You were rough men before you got saved. Did you ever run upon somebody in your unsaved days that was so angry with you, it was scary the anger they projected? Wow. What if I left this world without God? And the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Whoa. What's it going to be like? I mean, if that's what happens to me, I fall in the hands of this living God. And the Bible said, who knoweth the power of his anger? Look, there is no way for the human mind to imagine and understand the totality of God's fury on those that have died without God and left because they love sin. That is dramatic to me to think about. And see, I didn't bother to even make a count of those that we may mention of Moses. But there are 600,000. There was probably in the millions of people that died under Moses' leadership. You know why? Because they sinned against God. Are you all hearing me today? Are you sure that you're really prepared to face a God who left us a question, who can know the power of his anger? Question mark. I want you to look back at that verse. Let me give you that. I'm about done. I want you to look back at the verse. And he says, who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. Now here's my thinking. Listen to me, here's my thinking. Do y'all see these things? Now, you know, I'm just kind of a dummy guy. I'm an old guy. I'm out of touch with a lot of things. But what does this sign I see on people's windshields that says no fear? Now, I'm honest now. What does that really mean? Anybody know? Please help me if you know. Huh? What does it mean? No fear. Now, y'all just playing dumb. Y'all know better than that. I'm the one that's dummy. No fear of anything. They're saying, I've got no fear at all, no fear at all. I cannot imagine. I had a man come at me one time. I'm just rambling right a second. I had a man come to me one time with a pistol, and he was ready to kill me. I mean, he was ready to eliminate me. You brave boy, ain't you? Yeah, buddy. I had them little wings on my heels. I was moving away quickly. You know why? Because the threat of that situation created fear. But that verse said, as thy fear, so is the wrath. Think that through. God seemed like he's saying this to me. Measure your fear of God, and you'll have some idea of the wrath you'll be expecting. Y'all sure are quiet. Somebody just sent me a text yesterday. And that Joan Crawford, y'all remember that name, Joan Crawford, that movie star? Y'all playing dumb with me, y'all know that, right? Joan Crawford, wicked, ungodly woman. She's in the hospital dying. couple of nurses started praying for her. And she screamed out, "Don't pray to God for me. Don't ask no help from God for me." And she died. Like that. I read in the Chattanooga Free Press paper when I was a young preacher. I read where this lady was a nurse over at Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. And she said, "I went into this room of this person that was terminal. And they said, 'Get me a mop. Somebody get a mop. Somebody get a mop. Somebody get a mop. Somebody get a mop.'" And the nurse said, "Why do you want us to get a mop?" She said, "Mop the blood of Jesus off this floor. Mop the blood of Jesus off this floor. Mop the blood of Jesus." She died like that. She said, "I went to another room. A patient was terminal. And she said they had gotten out of bed. And they were up in the window trying to climb the blinds." She said, "What are you doing out of bed?" He said, "I'm trying to get out of this fire. I'm trying to get out of this fire. I'm trying to get out of this fire." As their fear was, so is thy wrath. I'm telling you, this God is a wonderful God. But you take him for granted and you will pay a price that you don't want to pay. A good God, wonderful Lord. I want you to put that question in your mind and don't forget it. Who knoweth the power of his anger? And then, if you're determined to stay lost, say to yourself, "One day I shall find out. One day I shall find out." Let's pray. Thank y'all for listening.